morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. It's Thursday morning, and that means you're here with Jim and Jack. I'm Jack, and across from me on microphone number two is Jim. Later on, we'll be introducing our guests on mics three and four. We have Hannah Combs and Olivia Fee from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum here with some big news, I guess.
Lots of news.
Yes, lots to talk about.
A plethora of news.
We could start by talking about the weather. Should I do the weather report right off the bat?
It's up to you whether you want to do it or not.
Yes, I suppose it is. Here we go. Getting right into the weather.
It's that kind of morning, Jack. Sorry.
Yeah. Getting right into it. We have today mostly sunny with a high near 88. This is one of those really easy to give forecasts, actually, because pretty much every day is going to be sunny and warm. We were talking just before we turned on the microphones that we are, even though it feels hot to us, we're actually pretty lucky to be here and not almost anywhere else in the country or world.
Far away. I just was talking with my brother in Billings, Montana, and he was telling me this morning, and he was telling me how god-awful the weather's been, how hot, mm-hmm. and that made me feel happy to be here on the shores of Lake Pendere.
Yes. We have high of 88 today, mostly sunny, down to 55 at night and partly cloudy. Tomorrow there is a slight chance of thunderstorms.
A slight?
Which seems like we've been getting that about once a week. A little thunder rumbling.
What do they mean by slight?
20% chance of thunderstorms.
So that means 80% of the people, wherever you are, don't worry about an umbrella.
Right.
Just don't be in that 20%.
Right. Check which percent you're in.
Exactly.
You'll be fine. That'll be in the morning. If there is going to be a thunderstorm, that's going to be before 11 a.m. and then gradually becoming sunny after those clouds pass, sunny in the afternoon and evening, and then mostly clear at night. 54 degrees down is our low tomorrow night, up to 87 again on Saturday, and sunny, low down to 57 and mostly clear on Saturday night. Sunday, sunny, high of 90 degrees on Sunday. Sorry, Jim. Yes.
I blinked.
Get to the lake. It's going to be 90 degrees on Sunday. At least that's what our forecast is telling us right now. And the low is only getting down to 60 degrees on Sunday night. We're no longer getting into the 50s
night. Your comment, get to the lake. I've lived here now for 22, 23 years, and I think you could count on one hand the number of times I've been in the lake.
Jim, get ye to the lake.
Jack, you ought to know this as well. Being a fellow Midwesterner, mm-hmm. Where water is user-friendly.
That's true.
I was on the lake last night, and everybody else on the pontoon boat jumped in, mm-hmm. and wallowed in the water. I remained on board.
Yeah.
And it's just too cold.
Yeah.
I know.
You're right. It is a little different in the Midwest where it gets up to like 80. Yeah, like 80 degrees.
I'm going to ask our guests so that I'm not feeling so alone. Hannah Combs, do you frolic in the water?
I do. I'm planning on going today after work. And as a fellow Midwesterner, I remember being in the water just never knowing what creatures or algae was getting in on you. So I think swimming here is a little bit nicer.
Well, have you seen some of the size of the fish they pull out of here? I mean, they could do like a little bit of toe damage if they... and how about Olivia Fee? Are you a water person?
I am, and I'm trying to go to the lake like at least several times a week because I take advantage for living in such a beautiful place and on such a beautiful lake. But I might see Hannah because I'm planning on going tonight too.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you a fellow Midwesterner? I mean, there's three of us here. Where are you from?
I moved around a lot, but I am originally an Idahoan.
A roots person up here in the panhandle or down in the fat part of the state?
Kind of in the middle a bit. Okay. I was born in Grangeville, but I've moved around since then. Cool. Yeah.
The After Work Swim Club. I'm going to start it. We're going to have jackets, maybe matching bathing suits.
Ooh, I don't know. Caps. I
love that.
Floaters. Leaving, spaghetti floaters.
Especially our studio is here on First Avenue. So we're a very short bike ride to the lake.
Yeah.
And I do tend to pack a bathing suit and like to, yeah, it's nice to drop.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder about myself, among other things, you know, that reasons why one lives in Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. Skiing up in the mountain, I don't mm-hmm. ski. The lake, I don't jump in the water. I've got to readjust my...
What are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly. You're not the only one who asked that. Should we introduce our guests?
I suppose so.
Let's do that.
Okay. We have with us, and I listen to the paper rustling. That's how you know it's official. We have Hannah Combs, frequent guest on the KRFY morning show, although not live in studio for a little while. Hannah Combs is the museum administrator for the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. And with her, for the first time in this room...
A newbie.
Olivia Fee, the outreach coordinator and administrative assistant. Yes. That is right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. How should we begin our conversation? You know, that you've given us a long list of topics. Let's start with you, Hannah. How long have you been with the museum?
So I started at the museum about a week before the pandemic started.
So oh my gosh.
It was really interesting learning on the job from home. But it was great. You know, we had a period of time where we got to just kind of slow down, figure out what direction the museum was heading in. That's when I had time to start developing ideas for writing articles, which has been really fun. I'm hoping to get back to that soon. But yeah, we had this period of time where we got to just kind of figure things out, learn how to do a new job. And then when we opened back up a couple months later, it was full steam ahead since then.
And Olivia?
I've been with the museum. I'm a bit of a newbie there as well for a little over 6 months now. And I recently gained the title of the administrative assistant, so I'm recently learning how to take that on, but it's all been really fun, and I love it, and I love the history.
What do you like best about being at the museum? What, if you had to say, among your many tasks, besides working with Hannah?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't top that. I've been asked this before, and it's hard, because I really do love, like, all my jobs, but... What I do have a lot of fun with is I get to design our posts and posters and advertisements. So it's really fun to design those. And that also means I get to do some research and find some really cool pictures. Yeah, I just really love the creative side of it.
Are you like a student of history? Is that how you ended up working at the History Museum? Or are you
kind of? So okay. I graduated U of I just recently as well with an anthropology degree.
Oh.
And originally I was planning on being an archaeologist, but my passions have changed. But I still I still love history, so it works.
Have you when you landed here in Bonner County? Were you I don't know. Were you surprised at the museum that we have? I'm constantly amazed that we're.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
It feels like a I don't know a regional museum or something like that.
Especially for
for
such a small museum and small town, visiting other small towns and other even bigger towns, the museums. I'm like. Ooh. I'm happy to be working where I am.
Yes, yeah. I agree. I mean, it's a really cool museum. I was talking not that long ago too to one of the reporters here in town who's mm-hmm. been doing some archival research, and he mm-hmm. says the archives of the museum and the library kind of combined, it stacks up with any archives that he's seen anywhere. It's pretty cool.
Location for those who might be listening who have not ventured over to the museum or might be a tourist here. Where are you located besides right now here in the studios?
We are in beautiful Lakeview Park down at the south end of town. If you've ever been to the festival at Memorial Field, we are in the backyard of the stadium. Lakeview Park is gorgeous in the summer. We have the big yellow caboose outside. So it's easy to see from the road, and it might look like an unassuming building, but there are so many treasures inside. And that's it. Our address, if you're traveling from afar and need to put it into your phone, we are at 611 South Ella Avenue.
And then Google Maps will come up and show you exactly where it is. Let's start the conversation with, you're looking for a new executive director.
We are, yes. Our wonderful director, Heather Upton, has taken a very exciting position with the city of Sandpoint. I was part of the team that worked on the master plan for arts, culture, and historic preservation last year. And as a part of that plan, one of the goals was to hire someone to lead that effort in implementing all of the objectives of the Arts, Culture, and Historic Preservation Plan. Our director, Heather, has taken that position with the city, which is really exciting. She has a lot of knowledge in that area to share, and will be sort of the nucleus of all of those efforts at the city level. So because she is no longer with us at the museum, we are on the hunt for a new executive director. We're very excited to find someone who's the perfect fit and are taking our time to find that person.
Where can one go if one is interested to apply to find the a job description and what needs to be done from there?
Yeah. So I would suggest directly emailing our board president, Ruth Wimberly. She can be reached at ruth@wimberlyhr.com. That's W-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y, HR.com. And she can help answer any questions, send a job description, and accept resumes and cover letters.
Is there a phone number one can call?
Well, you can always, if you need to get that information again, you can always call us at the museum and we can help you send it to the right place. Our number at the museum is 208-264-2344.
What do you think, or do you think you're looking for somebody from around here? Or are you casting a wide net?
Well, the ideal fit would be someone from around here who's a little bit familiar with our area and with our community, because we are such a small, close-knit community. It's always nice to have those connections and those relationships to the community here. You know, if we need to, we can cast a wider net, but first we'd like to see who might be available locally.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky you're on the radio here in North Idaho and not someplace else.
You know, absolutely. Makes sense. This could be helpful.
We will actually be reaching your potential applicant pool right here. Let's see. So that's a big change, but the museum is in good hands in the meantime, I would say.
Yeah, we have a really active board, and with Olivia and I there every day, we can still help out with all the day-to-day research requests and visitors. And we also, I just want to give a plug, we have the most amazing team of volunteers who help out on a weekly basis at our front desk and just take care of us and our visitors, and I cannot thank them enough for everything they do.
I was going to ask you to say, I'm with the volunteer group at the Panada Theater, and without volunteers, organizations like the Museum and Society and like the Panada would come to a dead standstill.
Absolutely. If you've ever been to the museum and walked around the exhibits and gone into the research room, you would assume that we have a staff of a dozen people, but we do it all with three part-time people, and that is thanks to our amazing team of volunteers who do so much for us.
Also, I should mention that KRFY is volunteer-run as well. Radio station.
Pick me.
Here's one over here. and yes, volunteers. I mean, there's so many organizations in this town that thrive on volunteers. It's a volunteerism kind of place. You mentioned the museum building and the big yellow caboose out front. Did you mention the cabin? Not yet. Here we go. Olivia, tell us about the cabin.
Yeah, so we have a new exhibit, actually, and you'll have to ask the front desk to view it because it's out in the Arboretum Garden. It opened, I would say, about a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know what time is anymore. But so it's mainly displaying the early homesteaders here and the stump farms. It also at one point was a vet clinic. So we kind of have a little bit of everything for you to view in there. It's really beautiful and fun inside, and it's fun for the whole family. We even have a little stump farm, jump from stump to stump for the kids once they walk up to it. So, yeah.
What do you mean by a stump farm?
Well, especially up in the Sully Valley, it used to be completely timbered, just like you see all the forests around us now. And for them, the homestead, they had to cut those all down. And I can't remember exactly the fact. How far long was the stumps?
Yeah, so throughout most of the Sully Valley, when the railroads first came through, they would cut down timber, and then they would sell the land to timber companies who would cut down even more trees. So a lot of times, by the time the pioneer families got there, all of the trees were gone, but no one had cut down, had taken out the stumps. And so they would send ads back east that said, beautiful agricultural land, ready to go, make all your dreams come true. And they'd buy it sight unseen. And when they'd come out here, it would just be littered with stumps everywhere that they would have to pull out before they could actually till and farm the land. And the game that we have is based on an anecdote from the Sully Valley.
Yes.
And do you want to share that?
I believe it's, when the homesteaders came and all the stumps were there, the children were able to hop from stump to stump to get to school. And they could do that, was it something like
it
six?
About a mile.
Or a mile? Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
So, no kidding.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
That we have one stump. I mean, what we did with our stump was bury it because we could not figure out how. I mean, we just covered it with, turned it into a mound, basically, because those are impossible to pull
that's
up.
Hard work.
And with the technology available in those days, wow.
That's a lot safer than the methods they used back then. Well, the safe method at the time was setting up a team of horses to drag it out
or
grind it down. But for the more adventurous spirits, they would use dynamite to just blow them up.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which I think you can, we have dynamite in the the cabin. Don't worry, it's safe.
Yeah.
Not real.
That's something that you never think about, I guess, or I've never thought about, is not just, cutting down the trees, but you got to then get rid of the stuff before you can turn it into productive agricultural land. Interesting. So that's what's going on in the cabin back there, which used to be the garden shed or something, but now it's you guys.
Yeah, and the Native Plant Society worked with us on that process. We realized 2 years ago that the log cabin needed a new roof, and at that time we worked with them, and they decided to build a new headquarters for the Native Plant Society. So there's a second cabin in the Arboretum. It's very cute. It's dark green. And then the log cabin is back with the museum and is the new exhibit.
Cool.
And I guess I should mention, we do have displays of the early homesteaders and the vet clinic, but I should mention that the actual cabin itself was the cabin that we're displaying all the inspiration. So I was it up in the Sully Valley originally, and then it recently.
Yeah, that cabin
over
was
a few years ago. Got moved back to the museum.
Yep. Yeah, it's from around 1904. It was on Shingle Mill Road, and then in around 1980, they were going to tear it down, and a whole bunch of the Granges, which were like the local farm clubs, got together and took it apart piece by piece and moved it to its current location.
How neat is that?
Yep.
You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show. We're here with Hannah Combs and Olivia Fee from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, just talking about the old cabin, which apparently was moved piece by piece. Are the Granges still around? Is there a local Grange?
That's something I should know. I think there are one or two that are still active in the county. At that time in the 80s, there were 16 who came together and helped move the cabin. So I don't think there are that many that are still active.
Yeah. That's a funny kind of lost piece of history.
Americana.
Yeah, Americana too.
Yeah. Americana has disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, let's go inside the building and talk about the research room, you know, that changes are occurring there.
Yes. We are so excited about this and so grateful to Community Assistance League and Angels Over Sandpoint. We received grants from both of them to contribute to this project. We have had so many visitors in the last year who have been seeking out research on either their new homes or family history. This year we had a lot of people coming in to ask about water rights. So that was a service we were able to help with, proving that there was water on the property.
Yep.
So we've had so many people coming in to do research, and our research room has not really been up to snuff in terms of accommodating all of them. So we can't, we don't have plans right now to add on to the building, so we're trying to expand as much as we can with the space that we have.
Right.
We received a generous grant from Angels Over Sandpoint to...
Yay!
Yes! Mm. And we're so grateful to buy a few key furniture pieces that will help us make that space more efficient. And we received a grant from Community Assistance League to invest in a few new computers to be able to accommodate more visitors as well. We have been operating for a long time on Windows 7, which I heard is no longer supported by anything. So,
Jack, you're the techie man. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's true. We had to upgrade our machine to Windows 10 too, or maybe 11 now. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. We've got some big upgrades that are happening right now. We would ask for everyone's patience as we juggle things around in the next month or so, but we are very happy to have that set up.
Hannah, can you talk about why one would use the research room? What would be some of the wide range of topics that I know there's, you could probably talk quite a bit, but you know, one goes a research room, why?
Yeah. So there are two parts to the museum. There are the exhibits, which are a really great way to learn about the community in a broader sense. You get a taste of all of the most significant things that have happened here. But if you're interested in a very particular topic, or personal history, that's where you can go back into the research room. And this is where you have access to all of our archives. So at any given time, only about 10 to 15% of our artifacts are actually on exhibit. The rest are in storage in the other half of the building. And that includes a massive collection of archival materials and photographs. Those are all accessible in our research room through our database. So we have a system on the computer where you can go in and type in a keyword you're interested in, and it will bring up all kinds of photos and archives and maybe objects about that. And then the staff and volunteers at the museum can help you find those, and you can look at original documents. You can look at research that's been done in the past. We can even sometimes pull out objects for you to examine.
Now, is there a fee to use the research room?
There is. It does take a lot of time and effort, so we do charge for that. If you want to come into the museum, we call that self-guided, where we are happy to pull things for you, and then you look at them yourself.
Sure.
We charge $10 an hour for that.
Okay.
If you would like us to do research for you, and you maybe live in a different state, or just don't have time to come in during our open hours, we charge $20 an hour for that. But if you become a member of the museum,
ta-da!
And our membership levels start at $25 for an entire year, then you get about 5 hours of research that we will do on your behalf. And you are welcome to come in anytime and do research yourself. And that's totally free.
Wow, that is a ginormous bargain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you think in terms of, you know, the history of First Avenue, if you're interested in a certain building or a structure, mm-hmm. or if you're thinking about, you know, the neighborhood you're moving into, you know, mm-hmm. the development of that. Right. There's all sorts of personal reasons.
Yeah. And if you are more in the mood for a grab-and-go option, we do have a lot of really well-written books in our gift shop on local history. So we have books on Sandpoint, Hope and Clark Fork. We have one of my favorites is set up as a driving tour. That's Driving Past by Nancy Rank.
Mm-hmm. Yay, Nancy Rank.
Yeah. And those give you really good information in, you know, a compact package that's already ready to go.
I have that one on my shelf as well. And it's cool. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's
a neat
fun
book. You don't think of a driving tour of the area.
Yes, that's one I look at. That one in Legendary Lake Pendere, I think, is the other one. It's nice if you're going someplace outside, I mean, going anywhere in the area, it's nice to just flip it open and say, huh, is there anything worth seeing over here that I might have otherwise missed? There always is.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY, community supported radio for North Idaho, and this is Jim and Jack, and we're the morning show for Thursday, and we're here with Hannah Combs and Olivia Fee, and we're going to be talking next about summer events. But let's take a music break on this date in 1980. All you Grateful Dead fans out there, Keith Godshow replaced Pigpen McKernan and was with the Grateful Dead throughout the 70s. And on this date in 1980, he was in a car accident and passes 2 days later. And what we're going to do is do a song from one of my favorite albums, underrated. I think the first side back in the days of vinyl was one of the best sides of the Grateful Dead, with Mississippi Half Step Toodaloo and Row Jimmy Row and Stella Blue. This is a song that Keith Godshow sings, that's a rarity. Let Me Sing Your Blues Away in honor of Keith Godshow and the Grateful Dead. Grateful Dead, Let Me Sing Your Blues Away, remembering Keith Godshow. And the female voice in the background is his wife, Donna Godshow.
Hmm.
And
I didn't know that there was a female member.
Yes,
or,
yes. So, she came in, oh gosh, about the same time that Keith did, and more she is. But I don't know if she ever did lead vocals on any song. And I do know that Keith and Donna released an album called Keith and Donna. Surprise.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that is a treasure someplace out there somewhere.
Cool. Well, I guess if you're a Grateful Dead fan, it's probably a collectible.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's one or two of us.
Yes, there are. We are here. This is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Jack. That's Jim. And we're here with Hannah Combs and Olivia Fee from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, talking now about summer events. Summer's going so fast, but it is, we are still right in the middle of it. We're really right in the middle of it, feels like to me.
The heart of it.
Yeah. Let's start with something that I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with, but not everybody, Free First Saturdays.
Yes. So you can always count on our Free First Saturdays. And it is how it sounds. So every the first Saturday of every month, we have free admission for everyone from 10 to 2. And we also open up the caboose. So little kids love that. Our upcoming one will be August 6th. And we would always like to thank our sponsors for allowing us to have these free first Saturdays for people to come in and just enjoy the museum. Yes, Hannah.
And our sponsor for August is our Bob and Marion Russ. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
When you mention little kids like the caboose, that's sort of like tractors at parades. Mm. You know, that little kids just puddle over the tractors, and I'm sure a caboose triggers all sorts of good memories and feelings for little kids.
Yeah, they actually get to go in it on our free first Saturdays. So
in other words, during the week it's not open?
No, unfortunately, due to vandalism.
Oh, man.
So we had to change it to free first Saturdays, but that's one other reason to come.
Absolutely. You get into the caboose.
Yep.
And okay, and what else about summertime?
Ooh, so a couple of updates on events that people have been asking about. The museum is known for its Movies in the Park, which have always been so fun in the past, and we had to put a pause on that during COVID. But right now, we have been rethinking how to do it and how to make it even more of a community event. We are currently talking to the Panada Theater about collaborating with them on our next series of movies. And at this point, it's looking like that might be slated for next summer. But if we do manage to pull any off this year, we will make sure to put it out on the radio and all the papers so that everybody knows. But we just ask everyone to hang tight. We will bring Movies in the Park back, but it might be next year. So that's our little update on that. And then we also wanted to let everybody know that we will not be doing our yard sale this year. We are so grateful for all of the generous donations and contributions people have made to that in past years. But we've had some issues with the weather. If you've been there in the last couple of years, it seems like we get smoked out by about 11 a.m. So we've been rethinking that. And we have a very exciting new opportunity that I'll let Olivia speak to a little bit. But if you have any nice pieces that you would normally donate to the yard sale, we are happy to take a look at those and possibly sell them at our museum guild. And otherwise, we do encourage people to donate to Bazaar Bazaar, because as I said earlier, we do receive grants from Community Assistance League. So donations made to Bazaar Bazaar do come back and benefit the museum.
Cool.
But speaking of the museum guild.
Yes. So we actually have two locations. We mentioned the museum location in Lakeview Park earlier, but now we have the Museum Guild downtown. It is north-facing window of the Panada. We have new stuff. We have old stuff. We have locally and handmade stuff. And all profits from the Museum Guild go to the museum, Hannah.
So the Museum Guild is our gift shop. It's our new
yes,
gift shop.
Yes, sorry. I should have mentioned
that
at the beginning.
So the gift shop is no longer at?
Well,
we do have some things there, but it's...
But a more complete display.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, because First Avenue, if anybody has spent any time on First Avenue during particularly the summertime, busy, busy, busy with people and families walking up and down. And has there been, Hannah, a lot of foot traffic at the...
Yes, we've been very pleasantly surprised by the amount of traffic we've had. And we're so grateful to the Panada for making that space available to us. It's been the perfect fit for us. It's a really tiny little space, but we've enjoyed it so much. It's perfect for what we're doing. And always fun to have people stop in and see where they're visiting from and be able to share a little bit about the museum and what we do and where our other location is.
And I do want to say at the Museum Guild, we have a few things that you can't get anywhere else in town. We have a special Evans Brothers coffee that you can get there, and it's very good.
Oh, Evans Brothers are among the bestest.
Yes.
Does it have a clever name or anything?
It does, and I totally can't remember it right now.
We called it the Humbert Lumber Company blend.
Well,
I think part of this was because, well, maybe with the exception of Olivia, the rest of us were not coffee drinkers when we were developing this, so we just left it in the good hands of the masters over at Evans Brothers to develop the flavor for us. But we told them, like, we just want something that tastes like what the guys would have drunk at the lumber mill.
Well, like wood chips.
But much better.
Wonderful.
Yep. And we also, one more thing, we have special locally inspired candles. Right now we have three. We have the Legend, we have Cap's Pipe, and the Palace Hotel. And we actually have seven different candles that will be going out soon. So keep your eye out for that.
Plus, I imagine the books and so forth that is usually there.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's the anchor of our gift shop offerings.
It's mm-hmm. It's a nice change of pace from the other places you go in. If you are somebody who just walks mm-hmm. down First Avenue looking for peeking into all the shops and restaurants and stuff, mm-hmm. it's nice to have a little bit of the museum right there.
And thanks to our mm-hmm. volunteers who help keep the Museum Guild open. They also bring some things in to sell, and part of those proceeds also go to the museum, but mm-hmm. that keeps it interesting. You never know what they're going to find and what's going to be there.
Yeah. What's the most interesting thing that has been offered for sale, would you say, at the Museum Guild?
Ooh. My favorite are this pair of wonderful carved wooden heads.
I was thinking the same thing.
I don't know. They look so, to me, I have German heritage in my family, and they look like something that would be in an old, like, German cottage, or perhaps at the top of the end of, like, a stair rail to just, like, rub the little guy's head.
Okay.
For good luck.
Carved wooden heads. Cool. Yeah. Did they sell, or are they still available?
They're still there.
Waiting for the right buyer.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
The right person will walk in and say, and then, this is what I've always been looking for. It's one of those thingies.
Whoever buys that castle that's for sale on the lake, this sounds like right at the top of the stairs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. That's the Museum Guild. All sorts of interesting stuff for sale in there.
Yep.
Hours for that? Did we mention that? When is the Museum Guild open?
Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 4.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
And you mentioned people walking by. What about walking tours?
Ooh, yes.
How's that for a segue?
That's nice.
Ooby dooby.
That's good.
So we are currently finishing up developing some walking tours that we'll be doing in August on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Those will be starting at the Museum Guild, doing a loop around downtown, and ending back at the Museum Guild. Those will be sharing lots of fun little anecdotes about things that have happened here in our past, here in Sandpoint. It'll cover everything from early railroad history to specific buildings, some of the flavorful characters who've lived here over the years. So it'll just touch on a lot of the fun stories that really bring the character to this great community.
I love a walking tour. Somebody used to do one, right? Wasn't there a walking tour?
A guided tour around town, downtown here.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I could be mistaken, it's that Nancy Rank again.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that Nancy.
Yeah.
I will say the City Historic Preservation Commission did put out, and those are still available, they made a fabulous brochure for doing a self-guided tour. So mm-hmm. we have those available at the museum and at the Museum Guild. So if you'd rather not join us in a group setting, you can always pick one of those up. They are free, and you can learn a lot, especially about building history and architectural history from that wonderful publication.
But the guided tour would be sometime in August. Wednesdays and Saturdays?
That's what we're planning right now.
Who's leading it?
We have a bunch of volunteers mm-hmm. who will be leading those. Some of our just really fun, spirited people will be sharing those stories with you.
Cool. I guess for more information, you just get in touch with the museum, unless you don't have the exact dates and times or anything yet.
That's correct. And okay. I do want to say, if anyone has ever been on our Drink in History tours, this will be a little bit different. So those are longer format. We do charge a higher admission price, and you have to reserve spots for drink and history. But for these walking tours we're developing, there will still be an admission fee, but they will be on a drop-in basis. So we will just have an ad at the Museum Guild that says next tour at this time on this day, and whoever stops by at that time and wants to join in, we can accommodate that.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. I'm going to go on one of those. I'm putting the stake down right now. I'm going to do that. And then also, hey, I think we're going to try and be here too, but the coming up at the Community Resource and Vision Center, actually, Chris Bessler had an interview with those folks last Wednesday, which you can listen to on our website if you want to go back and hear it. But you guys are going to be at the Volunteer Expo on next Thursday, week from today.
Yes. I will be there, as well as our volunteer coordinator, Val Burgess. We will be sharing about all of the different volunteer opportunities we have at the museum, and happy to talk to anyone who's interested in joining us over there. It's a fun place to be.
Where's that located?
So the Community Resource and Vision Center is over in part of the old Coldwater headquarters on McGee Road in Kootenai.
Okay.
So you come to that, like, the
stoplight?
The stoplight across from the mill.
Okay, yeah. And then you take north. You take a left, head north.
Yep.
And will there be signs like?
Yeah, they have great signage outside. They have big banners that will point you to the right place.
So that is Thursday, July 28th. That is 1 week from today.
Yeah. You can come, you can visit.
Is that July exiting the whoosh?
Yeah, I know. There's the 28th.
Where did July go?
Same place that June went. All gone.
And I'm afraid August is probably going to do that too.
Yeah.
We got to do something about all this.
I know. Somebody slow it down.
And speaking of whoosh, 50 years ago?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay, okay. Can we all be honest? Okay. Who was around in 1972?
Not me.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Yeah, the sounds of silence. I was.
But you weren't even around here.
No. Yeah. I was in graduate school at University of Nebraska.
Yeah.
No, I had probably never even thought of Idaho. Would I have? Yes, I would have thought of Idaho because of Hemingway and Ezra Pound.
Sure.
You know, the literary. But Sandpoint? No, that wasn't on my radar. But 50 years ago, what's so important about 1972?
Yeah, so happy 50th birthday to the museum. It was incorporated in 1972. It wasn't built until 1978 and 1980. And the collection was actually being developed clear back in 1953. But we are counting on 1972 being the landmark of 50th anniversary. And we've got a few things going on to celebrate it, honestly, all year. You may have saw us in the 4th of July parade. How could you not?
I did. Yay. I applauded Hannah, I think, when she walked by.
I think our board members, Ruth and Beth, got on the front of all of the papers for their costumes. They went way out in
what
the
did
70s
they go
fashion.
Oh, 70s. Nice.
Yeah, they did a 70s patriotic mashup. Our board president wore this amazing pair of corduroy bell bottoms that her husband had tailored or made in Thailand while he was on leave in Vietnam.
Corduroy
they were
bell bottoms.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Were those the American flag ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they had drums and everything, so they were quite the stars of the parade. Let's see. We are going to have a birthday party coming up more towards fall, and we are working on planning that right now, so we don't have a ton of details besides we are going to plan on doing a time capsule at this party.
Nice. Oh, what fun.
Yes. And we are hoping to get the class of 72 involved And we would like everybody to bring pictures of where they were in 72 to put in the time capsule. Hopefully we'll have pictures to take there to put in the time capsule at the time.
I used to have hair down to my shoulders.
You're back kidding. Then.
No, no.
Okay.
I was in graduate school and a poor graduate student. And before my hair started falling out, I let it grow.
Well, I would love to see some pictures of
yes.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yes, we
that
do.
Would be great.
No, you wouldn't. How neat, a time capsule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me, can I go back a little bit to, you mentioned that the museum and society was incorporated in 1972. Are there any names that are associated with it, individuals? Are the families still around?
There are so many. I was just going through the list of our first Board of Trustees.
Ah, okay.
Some of the names, not all of them, but the ones I can remember would be like the Moon family. So Bud Moon, Bud Davis, Katie Littlefield. She's responsible for most of the Victorian clothes we have in our collection, which is one of my favorites. So all of the historic families had a hand in getting the museum set up. They really pulled together and made that happen.
So, but you said that the collections were begun as early as 53. Was someone just saving them for the arrival of the museum down the road?
So I love this story.
We love stories.
A visionary. She's one of my heroes locally. Her name was Dr. Ethel Page Westwood, and she was Bonner County's first woman physician. She got her degree from Northwestern in 1899.
Oh my gosh.
And then moved here and was a doctor. But she was also a poet, a novelist, and a passionate amateur geologist. So she amassed a huge rock collection. And I'm not sure if she started it, but she was a big part of the, what did they call it? The Gem Club. It might have been the Gem Club. But they collected all of these rocks from all over with the intention of building a natural history museum here.
Oh, excellent.
And her collection was housed in, let's see, in the community hall at one time.
The wooden structure on First Avenue?
Yep. It was in the basement of the library, which at the time was in the federal building where McDuff's is
Where's
today.
McDuff's is now, yep.
It was in...
Wasn't it in the high school at one point?
Yeah, the old high school on Euclid. So that's the...
I need to blow the dust off my memory on that.
The Event Center.
Oh, the Event Center. Yeah. Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so her collection and the Gem Club collection was just kind of moved around. And then, sadly, it was a few years after she passed away that the museum was founded and they built the museum, today's museum, to house her collection and then all of the other contributions from the community.
Yeah, you know, when I think about, you know, the history of this town, it'd be, you know, to have on a website, you know, like you have a map of like First Avenue and the different stores and you punch in like 1922 and see which ones pop up because, you know, like where the Music Conservatory is, that was the fire station. And where Finn and McDonald's was, that was Murren's Hardware. And before that, you know, just lots of, you know, we look around and we think, oh, these were here forever, but they weren't.
No, it's amazing how many different businesses have been in town over the years. I always like to point out Larson's as one of the few examples of a business that has been here for over 100 years, starting with Larson's and Genestad's, and then it was Genestad and Larson's, and then they split off again. But that business has been in the family for since like 1911, I think. So a very long time, and that's really neat to see. But you're right, for most of the other buildings in town, they've maybe housed, you know, dozens of businesses at this point.
Well, a good example is the building that we're in. We're on the second floor here on First Avenue. And some of these walls were external walls because my previous office with multilingual computing, on the wall it has butchers. Yeah, butchers on the wall. And, you know, so that meant that my office was outside at one time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure there's a history here because, you know, all these second floors weren't always second floors.
Yeah.
They were built up. Yeah, you know,
here's,
I mean...
There's a brick wall behind me right
brick
now.
Brick wall behind uh-huh. you that might have been an external wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you looked shocked. At me strangely mm-hmm. when I said butchers because...
So yeah, like a sign, like a painted sign on the wall, but
painted
all you can
sign
see is
on the wall.
But you can't tell what the butcher shop was called.
I have no idea if Butchers was the name,
oh,
like
okay. yeah.
Mary and Joe Butchers,
mm-hmm. okay, yeah.
or if Butchers was a butcher.
Yeah,
yeah, it kind of threw me off that there would be a butcher shop on a second floor.
No, not on the second floor.
Oh, okay.
There was probably. No second floor. It was the external wall of the building.
Yeah.
Painted. So you know, I guess there's just an incredible history here that probably we don't know about.
There is. We do have an incredible volunteer. His name is Dan Evans, who is exceptional yeah. with building history. And we've been working the last couple of years on doing histories of specific buildings in town. It's amazing what... he's able to find. Kathy Hubbard is another volunteer who helps us put together
okay.
wonderful stories. And they usually wind up being like 15 to 25 pages worth of history just on one specific building.
Wonderful, wonderful. We are winding down here
yeah.
with Hannah Combs and Olivia Fee from the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. I mean... it's just so wonderful to have you in the studio with the two of us. What are we going to do for the rest of the... Well, I did queue up in honor of the 50 years, the number one song on this day in 1972.
Yeah.
So, but it's like 4.5 minutes
yeah,
long.
Yeah, it would take us right to the top of the
do
hour.
Do we mind that?
Yeah, I suppose not.
Anything in summation either Olivia or Hannah want to say?
I guess on the note of music, just to throw it out there, we do have a silent auction at the Guild right now for some Beach Boys concert tickets. And they
Boobie
are
doobie.
Already sold mm-hmm. out. So.
Yes, I understand. So those, and
on
what does one do in order to access possibility of getting them?
You just go into the Guild and they'll point you in the direction. We have two different silent auctions for two pairs of tickets, and you can go ahead and just sign your name away.
And one last thing.
Yep.
Say something about membership.
Yes. Membership at the museum is super easy. It's super easy to become a part of the museum. We have a senior membership that's $25. Individuals are $30. Household is $50. And then it goes up from there. But if you become a member of the museum, it's good for a whole year from the date that you sign up. It includes research perks, free admission all year, lots of other goodies. We also are part of a reciprocal museum club in a way. So if you have a membership with us, it gets you perks or free admission at over 300 other small museums around the country. So
cool. So just drop by 611 South Ella
mm-hmm.
and sign up and become a member. Should we
Very
just
cool.
go out with music?
I want to mention one event.
One event.
One event only. It's
that's
tonight.
That's it.
At the 219. It's the All second
right.
week
speakeasy.
Of their
speakeasy.
Sounds fun.
It does, yeah. The mm-hmm. LPO Rep, that's the Lake Pontarre Repertory Theater Company,
is
holding a fundraiser tonight. And it's like a, seems, I didn't go to the first one. It seems like it's like an interactive play.
It's an
like
interactive play. You have the characters going through in costume.
Mm-hmm.
And what's important about this is a fundraiser for the play that they're putting on in September at the Panada, The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yes.
So this is a tremendous opportunity, and that's at the 219 Club on 219 First Avenue.
That's right. It's tonight at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So there you go.
This is the number one song 50 years ago today on this date. It needs no introduction, artist, or name. You'll recognize it right away.